Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Drew. With me, as always, are my co-host, Devin.
What's up, gang? I missed you.
And Ryan.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of old now. I'm starting to take vitamins. I got B12 here and then B-complex.
What do they
supposed
do
to help
you?
Me?
You know what's funny?
Supposed to give
when
me more energy.
When the pandemic started, we're like, we gotta buy vitamins. So Kelly bought like a men's daily vitamin, and I was taking it religiously like through April, and then kind of slowed down in May, and a couple days a month, June and July, and I've stopped.
I keep them on my desk.
I have a habit jar of vitamins.
I keep them on my desk, so you know. I don't forget about them. They're right in front of my keyboard.
Nice. I started a diet and I've lost 10 pounds.
Yeah. Good work. Congrats. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Round of applause.
Thanks. And that's it. That's all we've got. All right. Nothing else have happened. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. See you guys next year.
Again, we missed some time again. We do this a lot. We're not very good at this. But anyways, fire started.
It's mostly Drew's fault.
What? It's not mostly okay. It's mostly Drew's fault.
Definitely
but,
not my fault.
It's definitely not all of our faults. You know, hey, let's do a pod.
Oh, me and
yeah,
Dan are ready.
Hey, let's do a pod. Yeah, let's
the
do it. And then nobody says
Drew
anything.
Is the one who like talked us into doing this.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so it's my fault that we're doing this.
Ryan, we were like really reluctant. Like no one's gonna want to listen to us. And you're like, we gotta do it. And now it's like, Drew, you want to do it?
And I always say yes, but my
Drew,
schedule is...
Drew,
you want
to do it? No one's still going to listen to us, but we want to do it.
Yeah, there's somebody's got to be listening, right? Right?
Hi, Mom.
Sure.
Your mom listens?
No, my mom listens. Does she?
No. Damn.
I'm going to wash my mouth now.
I've said some really bad things, and I apologize greatly. But yeah, the Flyers are back, which is fun. And they're off to good things. They've played two games so far. They played the Penguins twice. And what did we do, guys?
And we won. We did things.
We did good hockey things.
Scored a bunch.
We did score.
Yeah.
And the Penguins did bad hockey things.
The Penguins did do bad hockey things.
I mean, the Flyers also did bad hockey things.
Yeah, but
then
Carter did good hockey things.
Doesn't matter.
And Carter did good hockey things. You got to remember that.
How great is it to have the luxury to do bad hockey things and not have to pay for it?
It's amazing.
Pretty nice.
Pretty great.
Honestly.
Speaking of Carter Hart.
Yes. What do we? You said speaking of Carter Hart. What about?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
what
yeah.
I said about doing bad
yeah,
hockey
yeah,
things,
yeah,
not
yeah,
paying
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. So. Speaking
about Carter Hart.
Yeah, we were actually the first game of the season. In the NHL.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, 5:30 start. Didn't like
we
it.
We were. I
feel like we
kinda
don't
did
ever
though.
Start in the first day.
Yeah, and at home, of course,
of course.
You know, no fans,
right.
But we get our first home game
yeah.
Start the season.
Well, last year, technically, we started at home, but in Prague.
Again.
Yeah, again.
We started home, but we're not actually home.
They have all these
we never
special
start
rules
the first
for us.
The season, and it's never at home. It's always in, like, California or something stupid.
But yeah.
You did get the Western road trip out of the way.
Well, there is none of that. Well, we will.
I was
going to
say,
Western.
Not
we,
this year.
Actually, we'll have one. We got to go play in Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what are you talking about?
Looking forward to that because I actually thought it was going to be on the lake. And then.
Well, how? There's no way they could do it on the lake.
I'm so
feasibly.
Sad.
I know, but that would have been so cool. And that's. Like, clearly people thought that, because that's what Belmar thought when they told him about it.
I'll be honest with you, I don't even, I, like, knew Lake Tahoe in my head, like, it's just a place, like, the Grand Canyon, you know, like, but I never knew what it looked like. So when they said they were playing on Lake Tahoe, I just assumed that was, like, a lake that must
they
freeze
did.
Over in the winter.
Yeah.
So that they're going to play on it.
And they did say on it, like, it's not like they said next
exactly.
to it, they said on it.
All the commercial, like, all the promotional material was, like, a guy skating on a lake in the mountains. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be sick.
And then
it wasn't until Belmar
mm-hmm.
was
the interview, and then
in the interview.
Yeah. forget who, but the
it was him and Burkowski.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, we're not actually playing on the lake, right? And he's like, no, I thought we were.
My favorite part about that was, so like, he's like, all the European dudes, like, bro.
Yeah, I haven't played on a lake bro. Yet. Yeah, yeah, it's like, you crushed my dream.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad that they're not playing on a lake. But realistically, how are they going to get good ice on a frozen lake?
I thought they were going to figure it out. That would have been the coolest thing.
I just assumed that, like, it was, like, a lake that... I don't even know where Tahoe is.
California.
To be honest with you, I couldn't...
Northern California.
I was like, is it in Canada or is it in Alaska? I don't know.
California.
So I just assumed that the lake...
Nevada, too.
Like, frozen thick enough that they could put a Zamboni on it. Like, that's what my friend was like, wow, it must be real cold there.
You need to take a geography lesson.
Oh, I don't care about
specifically about lakes that could freeze.
California.
And also the dynamics of to make safe ice for when you guys try to do pond hockey when it's been 4 days of cold.
Lake Erie freezes over every winter almost. So I figured, why not Lake Tahoe?
Lake Erie is a little bit more
north. The only reason why I know that is, well, is it? But is it higher? Because the mount, it doesn't matter if, you know, it snows in Southern California in true. The mountains.
Yeah.
So.
True. Yeah, whatever. Flyers.
That's yeah, what we're talking about. Yeah.
I don't know. Flyers. Game one. Flyers won 6-3. It was nice. We did get outshot by, I don't know, 7 shots, but it doesn't matter. We had Carter Hart.
Yeah. So that was actually, there was some interesting stuff about that. So yeah, I think game one, it was a 5:30 start. So like 5:30 in my life is a pretty hectic time. So wasn't digging the 5:30 start, but it seemed like there was a couple big chunks of time where it was like the Flyers just didn't have the puck. But when the Flyers did have the puck, they had dangerous chances that led to scoring chances and goals. But when the Penguins had the puck, it kind of just never really felt threatening unless they had a power play. So they got outshot, but I still felt like they had the better offense.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. It did feel like they got more chances.
Yeah, and I mean, just with the defensive side of things, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of defensive breakdowns early on because there was no preseason. So, and now we got a new guy on the back end in Gustafson. So you're going to see a lot of those big breakdowns. Like, I think what the Penguins must have had, like, I feel like there was a segment where it was like maybe like back to back or a couple like 2-on-1s or a breakaway somewhere thrown in there, yeah, like really like rapidly. I mean, thank God for Carter Hart, but like,
I feel like that was
the second game, there was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was
a lot of breakdowns.
Like the whole second period, it was just like there was like, I'm making numbers up, but it felt like there was like 5 2-on-1s, but 3 of them, mm-hmm. the defenseman actually stopped it, and then the other two, Carter Hart made a big save.
Yeah.
So that was good. I mean, I think it was like Myers and Sanheim a couple of times that were the one on the 2-on-1, and they're both like lengthy guys that are actually pretty good at making stops there.
How do we feel about Gustafson? I mean, it's early, so
I liked him when he was in Chicago. So
I don't know if I'm gonna like him as much as Niskanen, because I feel like Niskanen,
oh, he's not Niskanen, but
yeah, he's but still I mean, a good like Niskanen, I think provided at least for us, I feel like you provide it more on the defensive end. I mean, we have scorers on the back end.
I feel like Gustafson's going to annoy me, mm-hmm. not because Gustafson annoys me, but because Gustafson is going to get a lot of love and not get criticism for the same terrible defense as Ghost does.
Yeah.
Like, they're the same player, but, like, people will like Gustafson because he's new and he doesn't have the bag.
And he's older. I guess he's got more experience.
Yeah. Like, they're like, because Gustafson, like, I think, I can't remember if it was game one or two, but, like, he turned it over in the neutral zone that directly led to the Penguins tie in a game in one of the games. But
They only tied it in game one, so it had to have been.
So it must have been game one. Yeah, like, he, like, flubbed the puck in the neutral zone. They got it, and then.
Yeah, but Carter flubbed the puck to Crosby. People do it.
No, he didn't flub it. He did not flub it.
No, you're correct.
Crosby just played and made a good play.
That was a bad play by Hart, but like also that was like that was a really good play by Crosby. Like I think 9 times out of 10, the player doesn't knock that puck down. It's not a turnover and a goal. It was still stupid by Hart to throw the puck up the middle, but it was kind of bad luck. Slash Crosby's really good.
Never cleared up the middle. Yeah, that was nice. Gustafson had 2 assists in that first game, by the way. On the power play. On the peeper.
The Penguins penalty kill was really aggressive, and I didn't think that the Flyers power play was going to be able to withstand it. And they
power play looked fantastic.
Power play looks good now.
Yeah.
I feel like because they for a lot of last year, they had Giroux on the opposite side. And they were trying to get weird with that, and now I think this year they just scrapped that idea, hopefully entirely. It works so much better with him on the left side.
They've changed their whole setup, their whole lineup, basically for it. They've put Gustafson and Farabee out there.
Yeah, but I mean that first
because they have Patrick and oh my god.
First power play goal was because Giroux was on his normal side because he was able to sling it to Voracek and then Voracek was able to sling it to Konechny.
That's also game two. We're talking about game one.
Was that game two?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Because Konechny had a hat trick. Konechny had a hat trick in game two. I don't know if you know that.
The two power play goals in game one were both from point shots by Gustafson.
Right, by Gustafson.
Deflected by Van Riemsdyk and
actually deflected by JVR. It just happened to hit Patrick's butt. But still.
Goal's a goal.
Actually, I want to pause on that really quick. Just a little thing of mine. I always feel like if the player doesn't actually deflect it, if it just hits them, it should go. The goal should go to the person who shot it. That's just a theory of mine. So, Konechny should have scored the Lindblom goal. Like, Lindblom didn't actually do anything to score the goal. It just hit him in the head.
JVR put his head
deflected
there.
The puck with his stick. I know. No,
Patrick
I get
put
the
his
logic.
Butt in the way.
It's a lot cleaner. Like, I understand, but I just feel like if I shoot the puck and it hits off the other team's defenseman's leg, it's my goal. It just hits something, but I still shot the puck. It's my goal. But if it hits off my teammate's leg, it's their goal.
I think it's like the teammate who directly caused the goal, I guess. It's like, you shot it, but bounces off your teammate.
We should use some,
If you shoot it and he's not there to deflect it, chances are it's not going in.
I'm pretty sure the Konechny shot that hit Lindblom's head, like, still would have went in. If it didn't,
Gustafson shot that hit Patrick wouldn't have gone in.
I don't know about that. Because watching the replay, barely moved.
Sometimes that's
all you need.
Little bit of movement is all you need,
Yeah, well.
Plus, what happened to the guy that it hit off of? Like,
here's the thing.
At that point, did they get an assist?
You're wrong. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Let's just move on. You're wrong.
One time I'm going to disagree on you with this, Dev.
You're wrong.
I know that it's crazy, but the power play in game one, it was 2 point shots. And then the power play in game two was different. It was a lot of puck movement through the slot, like passes through the slot, which I don't know how, like, Drew and Voracek are such great passers. Like, they throw it through the insanity of the slot where there's like two defensemen and two Flyers forwards, and I'm always like, no, it's not gonna make it through, and it always makes it through every single time. And one Konechny goal where it was like Drew to Voracek, I think it was Voracek, but like Drew to Voracek to Konechny, like immediately. Yeah. It was so fast. It was great.
They just need somebody good up front. Like when they had Hartnell, they were able to make those cross crease passes, and Hartnell's always there, or Simmons, somebody like that, somebody in front of the net to either shoot it or scramble for it and put it in. I think Konechny, he was net front game two, so
that power play was also a little bit different because you got to consider that Couturier was out after that, and that changed the lines a little bit
Giroux,
Voracek, Konechny on the power play in game one together.
No, Well, yeah, so I think they eventually, so when Torrey went out, they got a power play like shortly after, and they just threw Voracek out there because it was like they didn't have enough time to think. But I think the rest of the power plays after that, Voracek was back in the second unit.
Yeah.
And I forget who they put in the first. But But yeah, the fact that they have Lindblom and Patrick back allows them to do a lot more with their power play because they have enough weapons to construct a second unit that's still lethal, and they have the handedness figured out where, you know, they have Drew on the left side and then Borged, or not Borged, I think they have Konechny on the top unit. I know that
it's hard because they did adjust those power plays. I'm pretty sure that's still early on.
I think that the quote unquote, at least the one that they will keep putting out first, is the Farabee unit. Farabee, Gustafson, Patrick, Hayes, and JVR.
So is that?
Oh no, not Hayes. Voracek and JVR. I think Voracek's
an effective first power play unit now.
I think so. And then they have Drew, Provorov.
I mean, that's crazy, though, because both those Lindblom units are good.
And then Hayes.
So I have it. I have it here. So currently, the first unit is Drew, Frost, and Konechny. So I believe.
Yeah.
It was
well, you're Couturier. Looking. You're talking.
Yeah, because Frost is directly plugging in for Couturier.
So Drew, Frost, Konechny, Hayes, and Provorov is the top unit, and then JVR, Patrick, Voracek, Farabee, and Gustafson is the second unit.
I think they were putting out that Farabee unit first, though.
Yeah, so that's they were doing that in game one. They were throwing out the second unit first for like the first 40 seconds, which was actually a pretty good tactical decision because the second unit is good enough. And then the Penguins or the other team is going to throw out their first PK unit, right, to start. So then the first unit is going out there against the second PK unit. So. Sad decision making there by AD and Spectarian.
It's nice to have two good power play units. You know, remember back a couple of years ago, second unit was just you throw it out there.
Last year,
Elmar and somebody.
Yeah, you just threw it out there because you had to have a second power play unit, but they never scored. I think they went like the whole year and had like one or two goals.
Minute, power play was over.
Yeah, now you have two good units, and it seems like they're starting to get the most out of them. I know last year was a little rough, but I mean, good start for this year, I guess. See how it goes.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we talked in like our group chat a lot over the summer or fall, the off season, about like what the Flyers need to like take that next step, and they needed some of their young guys to just kind of break out this year. And in game one, you see Farabee put up 4 points. And then in game two, you see Konechny score a hat trick. So, like, both of those are good signs for, like, they bode well for the future of this season. Although you can argue that Konechny broke out last year. But
I mean, it's good to see him. Especially because he had a rough playoff series, so it's good to see him kind of get back into a groove early on.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, Joel had 1-3-4, 1 goal, 3 assists for 4 points. TK actually had 4 points in that second game. He had 3 goals and an assist.
Sure.
And with that fact, the lone hat for the hat trick from Gritty, by the way.
That was beautiful, that toss.
Yeah. Kind of hat. Had 31 saves on both nights, on 34 shots the first night and 33 shots the second night. So interesting, a 912 and a 939. I think he's sitting at a 925 right now for the season, and a 251 for the goals against, which is pretty good.
That's actually higher than I expected because like he looked great in both those games. I think Voracek said it best in post game, the first or second game. He said the scary thing is he can be better. So I'm surprised his numbers were as high as they were, but yeah, I mean, he's looked great.
He's looking great.
Even difference really in game two.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Because the Penguins, the Flyers went up 3-0, right? And the Penguins stormed back, they make it 3-2, and then for a good chunk of time after that, they were just kind of like hemming the Flyers in. The Flyers took poorly, and you know, and he made a lot of great saves. And if the Flyers have an average goalie in net, the Penguins probably tie it and take the lead. But they don't, and then the Flyers, you know, they get the insurance goal in the third. So like that's the difference. Having this is why having an elite goalie is huge in hockey.
Yeah, for sure.
Changes the narrative completely from being 1-1 and, you know, being outplayed in game two to making it feel like you dominated both games.
But also keeping game one tied after they did tie it. And allowing you to go for a 3-goal explosion to win it 6-3. And, you know, the score doesn't really necessarily reflect how well he's played, I feel. And how calm he's kept the team when the games were close.
But I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, everybody says it all the time. He's calm back there. He doesn't panic or – and it shows, too. Like I said, like Dev was saying, it was 3-2 for the longest time. And you kind of felt like at any moment the Penguins could break through, and kept it steady.
There was that one, I don't know if it was technically a save or not, but like the Penguin forward basically had an empty net, and Carter, like, it was like kind of like a stick save, but really he just used his stick to lift his stick so he couldn't shoot, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that counted as a save.
Something, it doesn't unless he actually stops the puck.
But it was. Yeah. But it was a save because he was going to score. In my book. That's another thing. It shouldn't.
Here we go.
Should that be a save, Dev?
Should that be a save for him not touching the puck?
It hits the post, it should count as a shot.
It's not a shot on goal. It's not a shot on goal. We're not doing
it.
We are not
it
doing
it. It literally hits the goal.
Dev, that's, no. You're 0 for 2 today with me. That's so rare.
Dev,
it's unbelievable.
Inside the post is the goal. Not the post. Because if it hit the post.
The goal is made up of the posts. The posts are part of the goal.
No, the goal is
so
in
by
the
your
net.
Logic, by your logic, if
it
a field goal
down.
Kicker
that's why
it, hits the upright.
No. That's not the same thing. It's a different
No, that's a field goal post. No. It's just literally the same concept.
So if they hit the post, should they score?
It is
the
same
the
concept.
Track,
first
not like
off,
if it goes through
there's
the upright,
two stats.
A shot isn't a goal. A
there's two stats. There's shots, and then there's shots on goal.
What is it?
I get it, but like shot attempts. Like so there's shot attempts,
shot
and
goal,
then there's shots on
the
net. What? Well, no, yeah, shots on goal and shots are the same. Like,
well, Drew just said there are two different stats.
What, shots and shots on goal? No, there's shot attempts and then there's shots on goal. And when you see the shot count on, like when you're watching the game, those are shots on goal.
Dev's still wrong.
No, I get that. I get
this isn't. Anyway, Lindblom and Patrick are back.
They both look really good, too.
Yeah, I love Nolan Patrick.
Nolan Patrick looks a lot better. He used his migraine time off wisely. He looks great out there. And
yeah, I'm shocked. He didn't look like there was any rust to shake off, honestly. He looked great.
Everybody said that the Flyers need a third center. Turns out they already had one, which I've been trying to say. He was just, you know, had some migraine issues.
Yeah, I mean, there was two camps of people with Nolan Patrick, and it was both were kind of extreme. Like, there was the people that were like, he's never going to play again, and he sucks. And the other side of that was, he's fine, he's going to come back, and he's great. He's going to be fantastic.
It is scary because you're dealing with something that's like, there's no real timetable for a return, and for the longest time, you just hear from Chuck Fletcher, like, oh, yeah, we're hoping he plays, or we're confident he plays, but there was never a timetable, so I'm actually surprised he's playing, I guess, just because I wasn't expecting it. But I guess through camp, he looked okay. And then, he's looking good. And like I said,
but he was practicing with the team at the end of last year through the bubble. Like, I had full expectation that he would play this year. I think the only reason why they didn't play him last year they didn't want to throw him into the playoffs like that, which is kind of weird that they threw Lindblom in there, so maybe that's completely wrong. But the whole thing, from my perspective, it was, are the Flyers telling the truth? If it's a migraine disorder, then I knew that he could overcome that and get back. But if it was actually post-concussion syndrome from a concussion, then, like, that was his career might be over.
Yeah.
So But once he started practicing again, I was like, okay, so it sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, through two games, so far, so good.
Yeah.
He looks quick.
He's brought the effort, brought the quickness, brought some offense. What more can you ask for?
He's doing a lot of – his two-way play is really good. I was watching, like, a highlight package of him and his – just, like, picking people's pockets and winning board battles. It's the stuff you want to see from hopefully your future number two or number one centerman.
Well, he's got to be the number two right now because Couturier is out, so he's going to, you know, be tested now. He's going to have to step up into a more mature role. Oh, I guess he's not a second-line center in our system. It's a 1B system.
The 1B.
Yeah, the 1B. So
Everyone's a first-line center.
Yes, everyone needs a first-line.
Except
Lawton is still somehow a fourth-line center.
Love that fourth line. It is spectacular. And I've been saying it for years, and I know you've hated on the guy, but Raffel looks incredible on the fourth line.
I don't get it.
He looks so good on the fourth line.
You hate Michael Raffel because of what he represents.
I think it's his face.
It's not his fault. It's not he's ugly.
I think it's just his face.
Like European, Drew?
No, I like Europeans. I think it's just his face. Or it's that he represents that coach I don't talk about.
Yeah, no. So Raffel has always been we've had this conversation 1,000 times, but he's always been playing. Like, he can fill in the top six if he has to, but like that's not where he's ideally placed. And the Flyers have been a weak for most of their last 10 years, so he's been playing in the second and first line, and that's frustrating for people because he's not a top six player.
Third
line, he's great.
That's where your fourth line succeeds, though, when you have guys like Lawton and Raffel, like guys that, if they needed to, could fill in on the top line. Yeah, and that the guys that could fill in the top six, yeah. But you don't want them there regularly, but on the fourth line, that's great.
For the first time in my life, the regular fourth line for the Flyers doesn't have a single terrible player on it.
Yeah.
There's no Laterra on there.
You don't dump. That's not where you dump your bad players. Yeah. You actually want guys who can play at that level there.
It's weird.
It's weird to have
that. Like, the fourth line is going to play 10 minutes a night. Why would you want a bad guy out there 10 minutes a night?
That's a question for Dave Haxtell.
Don't ever speak that name to me again, you son of a... Anyways, Kutz is out for 2 weeks.
At least.
2 weeks plus, yeah.
I'm gonna say 2 weeks.
He separated cartilage from his ribcage?
It sounds bad, but it sounds like he hurt his chest. Like, I don't know, pulled a chest muscle kind of a deal that hurts. It doesn't sound like something super serious, so it's probably like a pain tolerance thing, and in 2 weeks he'll probably come back. That's my guess. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a great opportunity for Frost. I mean, he's playing in between Konecny and Lindblom, so the super young line, but I mean, Konecny and Lindblom have a couple of years, and I feel like that line will probably be a little bit more sheltered than the 1A and 1B line, so I feel like it's the best opportunity Frost is probably going to get this season, honestly, especially because he plugs into Couturier's spot on the power play, too.
Yeah.
The way that the schedule is this year, like, there's going to be a lot of injuries just because they're playing so many games with so little nights off and stuff. So I think Frost will get a few more opportunities like this, especially if he scores like 4 goals in these 2 weeks, you know, he might stick around and someone like Mac might get bumped off. But kind of going back to game two, like Kutz got hurt 45 seconds into the game. Which probably was part of the reason why the Flyers were a little discombobulated at times, but because they're playing down a forward. But just that whole idea of the depth of the forward core, they were still able to put up 6 goals, right?
5.
Now you're inserting Frost in there. What?
Wasn't it 5? Yeah, 5 in game 2.
I thought it was 6.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
It's going to happen so much because the Flyers...
They won by three. So they won by 3 both games. So
this is going to happen so much this season. with us getting these games confused, because they play a team twice.
The same team.
Yeah, the same team twice. So.
You might as well just replay both games. One is big keep game. Things in front of you, and you don't get confused.
I'm not good at that.
Anyway, so yeah, so just I'm really excited to see what Frost could do. I'm really happy that they're just plugging him right in Kuz's spot. Like, just all right, here you go. I mean, he's probably not going to get first. That line is probably now a third line, but
they're 1C. get it right.
But still, like that line's pretty sick. I mean, how many times over the last few years have you made that exact line in your head? Like, in a couple of years, the Flyers will be able to do this with Frost and Konechny and Lindblom. Like, this is exciting. And Lindblom is basically he's a similar type of player. He's not Couturier, right? He's not, like, elite like that. But same type of player, like, really good two-way player, does all the little things right. And Konechny is the playmaker. Yeah. And I'm excited to see. I mean, we didn't really get to see Frost a lot last year, so. This is gonna be cool. I'm excited, and to go against Buffalo, two games who don't have great defense, so
yeah,
it's good. It's a good two games to get them in there.
Yeah,
fair. Start them all.
Fair, sure. So, yeah, I think I'm ready to talk about some division prediction here, boys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
I had such an easy and hard time with this.
I have literally not done it yet, so this is gonna be interesting. I gotta let you guys. I literally have to let you guys go first because I gotta look at the division. Let's start division at a time. Let's start with the Mass Mutual East, yeah. Because they're all East sponsored now. God, the East, which is the Flyers division.
Just a disclaimer. So I tweeted out my predictions and I did make some tweaks for that.
You lied to the
not
people.
Major tweaks.
You lied to the people.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not. Literally, it's like I flipped two teams in one division, and I changed the fourth team in another division. That's all I did. I just want to.
Are we doing like
first,
second, third, fourth?
I think we should just do the top four for each.
Yeah.
Can I just say something real quick before we continue? Because I have all the standings up in my game and in front of me. The Flyers are tied for the most goals for in the league, and the teams that they're tied with have 3 games played, and they only have 2.
Thank you, Tristan Jari.
This feels weird.
Terrible.
It feels weird. No, it feels great.
I don't know. I mean,
it's not Jari's terrible.
Tristan Jari is terrible. That is the point I'm making.
All right, anyways.
Take a flight from like 7th in the league last year in goals or something.
Whatever. Let's just go.
It just doesn't feel like it because they don't have a guy putting up 50, but. They score goals.
Yeah. So, the East. Devin, go.
All right. So, fourth place. I'm going to go from fourth to first. I went back and forth with this a lot between the Capitals and the Penguins. And I decided to go with the Penguins with the Capitals missing.
Another hot take. This is my hot take every year. This year.
I might regret this, but I'm thinking a coaching change in this environment where Lavi doesn't get a real training camp to implement a system. Lavi usually starts like his first couple years are great, but like I'm just kind of thinking like how much practice did they really get with the system? I feel like they're going to start off kind of slow in the first 10 games. They're older. I just kind of feel like with this shortened schedule, you know, if you start off slow, that might be it for you. So that being said, the Penguins started off 0-2, but, I'm going to go with the Penguins.
They're now 1-2, by the way.
Yeah.
They actually beat Washington.
1-2, they beat Washington.
A little foreshadowing.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with that. I'm sticking with it. I think the Penguins they got holes now and they're older, but I just think they're the Penguins. They still got Crosby and Malkin, and if Jari doesn't suck the whole year, I think they'll be fine. So third, it's also kind of a hot take. I'm going with the Bruins, who seem to be like the favorite to win the division.
I don't.
I don't really see why,
I don't think they're as good as they once were. They get that benefit of the doubt, but I think third's probably a good spot for them.
Yeah, they're still great. They still got like Bergeron and I mean Pasternak's hurt to start the season, which is kind of actually why I'm bumping them down. Like if Pasternak was here game one, I would actually probably say they're gonna win the division or come in second. But it's they're missing the star player for I think the first month of the season. They lost Chara, they lost Crew. So I'm going with third for Boston. I'm gonna go with the Islanders second.
Ooh, that's a spice
I've
take.
always doubted the Islanders every year. I'm finally giving them the respect they deserve. I still think they're not great, but the way they play, the fact that they all get to beat, like they're gonna beat the teams that are not gonna make the playoffs more often than not. Like they're not gonna lose to the Devils more than twice or lose to the Rangers more than twice. Like they're gonna get 6 out of 8 wins against those teams where I think, some of the other teams that will make the playoffs might kind of like take that night off and lose. The Islanders are really disciplined. They're going to win those games. And I think, as we saw in the playoffs, they'll give any team a headache. They're just so structurally sound. Trotz is really good. So I think in this format where you're staying in the division, you're not playing outside of it, I think the Islanders will come in second. And then first, I have the Flyers. Because, oh, I don't care. I think they're great. They're going with the
Yeah, I'd
Flyers.
have been so happy if you'd have picked Buffalo right there.
Yeah, that's my top four.
I've got my top four
It was
already.
tough to get the Capitals out, but
You want to go next, Drew,
yeah,
or?
I want to go next. I want to go next before I
All
change
right.
my mind. All right.
Go for it.
I've already forgotten. No, number four. No, number four. I've got the Islanders. I think they'll squeak in. They'll do it. Number three, I got Boston. Number two, I have Washington, and then
Wow.
Flyers winning it all.
Drew,
Both
that
even
is
though.
my exact choice.
Thank
Those are
God
my
I went
exact
first.
choices.
Thank God I went first.
So my
I
reasoning,
don't disagree with it.
I mean the Islanders, I feel like they are a hard team to play against, but I don't think they're as good as they were in the bubble. I just think they're a tough team to play against defensively, but
Yeah.
they don't have a lot of firepower up front besides Barzal.
He is
So
sick.
yeah, so that's why I slot them in the fourth. Boston, I mean, they're not as crazy as they once were, but they're still a good team. That's why I slide them into third. Washington, same reasoning. They're still, I feel like, a good team. And the Penguins, I feel like they're going to get bad goaltending this year. So that's why I have the Penguins not making the
I agree with
playoffs.
you. That's why I don't have
Yeah,
the
so
Penguins
I
making
don't
the
disagree with
playoffs.
your guys' logic at all. Like, I mean, I was trying to, like.
And I think the Penguins are pretty beat up defensively, too. But and then Philly, I think they're just, as far as the East goes, I think they're the most complete team, at least for now. I think they have the most depth. That's why I feel the most confident in them taking first place. But
Yeah, I'm not being like a homer by picking the Flyers first. Like, I truly believe they're the best
I
team in
look
the
at them
East.
and I feel like they're the best team. Yes, I agree with you.
Absolutely.
NHL.com ranked and they do like their Super 16, their preseason, quote unquote preseason ranks. Had the Flyers at fifth in the whole league. To give you an
Yeah,
idea,
I mean
people aren't
that's
sleeping on them.
I'm guessing that like Tampa, Colorado were above them, so
Yeah. Tampa,
right. You want to move
Colorado,
on?
Dallas, I think was randomly. Yeah, let's move on. Let's go to the Central
What
just because
division?
it's next. I'm just
Okay.
scrolling down on them. The Discover
All
Central. Devin, you went first
right.
last time, Rye. Why don't you hit
Yeah,
us with
sure. I'll go with
Sure.
I have mine already listed, so I'm ready to go. But I mean, Tampa, it's pretty obvious. Even without Nikita Kucherov, they are still. You look at that division; they are still the best team in that division easily. I'll go Dallas next, just because that division I don't think is very good. I think Dallas has the closest to a complete team that you're gonna see.
You're going from one to four, correct?
Yeah,
Yeah,
sorry, I'm
he's
going
going
the
out.
opposite way.
It's all right. It's fine.
One to four, Tampa, best team. I think Dallas comes in second. That's how I have them listed on my sheet. For third, I'm gonna go Nashville and fourth, Carolina.
I'm honestly, I'm really close to that. I have
I feel
Tampa
the same
winning it.
team, but different orders.
I have Tampa, Dallas, Carolina, Nashville.
Okay, so I went Carolina first. Oh, Tampa yeah. second.
Really?
Dallas, Nashville. Yeah, so I'm bumping Tampa down. Stanley Cup hangover, classic. And then again, they're gonna lose some games. They should.
I mean, they're already turn it on.
Like Tampa's better than Carolina.
They're already 2-0, and they're outscoring their opponents by 7 goals.
I think having Stamkos back for real helps.
Chicago, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Chicago. And Florida is now smoking Chicago at 4-2. So. All right, that's fair.
So Carolina, I think they got the whole package now, and I think they've been at like kind of like a dark horse pick for people for a few years now. It's still Mrazek.
Yeah, they don't have the whole package.
But everything.
Although
else is great.
In his defense, he has
plays well for them.
He has figured out how to face the correct direction.
Yeah,
he can turn left.
Step
he
one.
Can turn left.
Yeah.
So yeah. But what was I saying about Carolina?
Yeah,
whole team. They have the complete package.
Defense, I love their defense. You know, like Hamilton, Slavin. That's a.
You
top,
love
top
their package.
Pair. Yeah, I love it. Svechnikov, Aho. I mean, they're great. I think they take it. And Tampa's, you know, one of the best teams we've ever seen constructed in the salary cap era. I think so. They'll be close. I mean, they'll probably win the division, but I'm trying to go out on a limb here and make some cool picks. So Dallas was tough. I think they truly are the third best team in the division. I'm just kind of like really worried about the whole COVID situation.
Yeah.
Can knock them down a couple points.
Yeah, like because they're missing like half their team right now. So I'm worried about that, but I still think they'll get in. And then, honestly, the fourth team was a struggle. I went with Nashville because it's kind of like
don't have the same teams there, right? Because I think all the other teams in that division, I guess Columbus like could challenge for that spot. I guess
I was gonna put Columbus in there, but the whole
Chicago's out, Florida's pretty much out, and Detroit's rebuilding. So like, there the only team that you could really say that gets that fourth spot is Columbus,
and they're gonna trade what's his face probably.
Florida, you can say Florida tomorrow. Gets the fourth spot.
Could you?
Yeah.
I guess if Bobrovsky kind of bounces back and they don't trade away all their good players.
Correct.
Yeah.
See how that goes, I guess. Yeah, I don't have faith in it because it's Florida, but...
That's fair.
You know, maybe they'll prove me wrong.
Are we ready to go to the next division?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the Honda West division, and I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first, and we're going out on a wing and a prayer here, fellas. Vegas, number one.
All right.
Vegas, number
ooh,
one.
Ooh, okay.
Colorado, number two.
There's a wrong answer for the top for me, to be honest with you.
Colorado, number two. St. Louis, number three.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about the fourth.
I'm going to assume that we all have the same top three. Maybe
probably
not. We'll see. But
maybe not necessarily
the
same order.
The fourth is the hardest pick in this whole prediction. The fourth in the West is super hard.
Yes and no. We'll get there.
So for me, who's Minnesota's goalie now?
This is one of the ones I flipped.
Who's Minnesota's goalie now?
Minnesota's?
Yeah.
Hold on. In 2 seconds, I have the roster.
You have the roster?
It is. The goalie for the Minnesota Wild is. Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry, I gotta go to goalies.
Cabo Kakinen? No, stay long. Oh, Cam Talbot. It's Cam Talbot. Arizona is my fourth team.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Because I don't like Cam Talbot.
I don't like Cam Talbot.
And their backup is Stalock, and I mean, he's a good backup, but it's close. The other thing with Minnesota is that the two games they've won in dramatic fashion in overtime. By goals from Kirill the Thrill.
So you didn't pick Minnesota, right?
I did not pick Minnesota. I picked Arizona as my fourth team.
Okay. All right.
So Vegas, Colorado, St. Louis, Arizona.
Okay. Who's next, me or Kush?
Flip a coin.
Heads.
Okay. All right.
It was tails. It was tails.
It was tails, so there we go.
Anyway, okay, so my top four. So picking the Avalanche first. They are sick. I don't really need to describe them. They're just then I'm going with the Blues second.
Okay.
And Vegas third.
Okay.
So this fourth pick, originally I went with San Jose because I was like, you know what, they're gonna bounce back. But then I changed my mind and I went with the Wild because I saw them in two games. Okay. Be honest with you, I wanted to put the Coyotes because I like Phil Kessel. But then I was like, hey, you know, they all kind of suck. Maybe the Kings will do it. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm going with the Wild because they're boring and mediocre.
Boring teams do things sometimes.
You know, I just kind of feel like they're always there. And they got this kid, Kirill Kaprizov or whatever, who seems to be like he might win the Calder already.
He scored the
winners. I think I put $6 down on him. I had that in my my DraftKings account. So I was like, you know, F it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with the Wild. They'll get destroyed by the Avalanche in round one, but I'm gonna put the Wild in there.
Alright, and Ryan?
Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis. I mean, you know, there's not much to talk about there. And then I also went with Minnesota.
We all put the top three in a different order, which is funny.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it literally could be any
so
order,
for
I guess.
Me, here's why I don't think Colorado wins that division. Vegas has probably, arguably, other than Tampa, the best all-around team.
Mark Stone is my favorite player.
The best all-around team without, like, you know, a Stamkos and a Kucherov.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Vegas has a team defense from forwards to actual defensive position players. Their goalies, both of them, are fantastic. They have the tools.
Tough division. That, I think,
it's a very tough division. They do have to play Colorado 8 times.
I agree with you. But
say it's a tough division for the rest of...
They don't have Nathan MacKinnon.
That's fair.
MacKinnon might be the best player in the league.
I feel like it's an easy division for those three teams.
he's not the best player in the league.
Yeah. Well, so that's actually something I'm really curious to see what happens, right? Because like, and we still have to do the North Division, but like, what? You're not playing outside of your division at all. So like, you're not.
That's what I mean. Like, so like,
some teams are going to be elevated. Like, they're going to look better than they really are because they're taking advantage of bad matchups. And other teams are going to look worse than they really are. So it's going to be really interesting to see, like, what happens to the Avalanche, Blues, and Vegas because they're playing each other 16 times. And they're all amazing teams. Like,
that's a tough
team. The fourth team might end up being really close to those three in points at the end of the season, just because like the other like those three teams would win any of the other divisions
but
probably.
The interesting about
but
that
they
is
have to play the
theoretically one of those three teams could end up fifth because they got to play. Yeah. You know, Colorado's got to play Vegas and St. Louis 16 total times.
Yeah,
St. Louis has to play
Colorado
and Vegas.
One of them just sweeps the other.
Right.
And screws them.
And then you lose half, and then you lose six out of eight against the other one.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden.
What if there's one of those three teams is just a little less than the other two, and they can't beat them, and then they end up being fifth.
Exactly.
I guess it's just
interesting.
It's a weird format, too. Yeah, because they're all playing each other. So
there's no, we got Chicago.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's the fact that there's no outside games. So, Vegas doesn't get the opportunity to beat up Ottawa a couple times. Like, they're stuck in their division. Like,
they're
we
not,
know why.
They're not
but,
playing
like,
Chicago.
It's going to be really cool.
You know,
it's going to be interesting.
Or one of these bad teams figures out how to play, like,
how
against.
To steal
like,
a game or two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you see that every year. Like, I think Detroit swept somebody last year. I forget who it was, right? But they did. I think it was Montreal. They swept Montreal.
Sorry, I'm curious about the final standings here because I feel like so far we went through each of them and most of our standings were super
similar.
So you look at these divisions and just in any given year they would generally be the same, but because you have so many interdivision
I think
games,
the next division will be different.
Yeah,
so
I think there's a lot of I think the North Division, there's a lot of different combos.
I know we're not doing any hot takes this thing. Like, here's my hot take for the season. Even though I picked all three of those teams that make the playoffs, my hot take is one of them will miss.
So either you're wrong or you're wrong.
Correct. And I'm setting myself up for failure at all times. That's what I do.
You really don't know how to do this hot take.
No, but I mean that's why it's a hot take, because
I agree with you, bro.
Because theoretically, Arizona and Minnesota could own one of these teams, or they each could have put up five good games against Colorado.
Yeah, we'll I'm gonna get first here.
I haven't moved this over yet.
The North. I'm talking about we're each gonna pick a team.
Oh, that'll
Colorado,
miss.
Vegas, or St. Louis that'll miss. I'm gonna go St. Louis.
It would
I feel
be
like
St.
it's
Louis.
The easiest.
It would be St. Louis.
Be brave.
Pick
St. Louis, so I'm not gonna pick St. Louis just for that. I'm gonna go with the Avalanche because
I would also agree with you.
Well, if basically, I feel like if someone goes down in Vegas, if like Mark Stone gets hurt in Vegas, I still think Vegas would be good. Like if they have this team system, if McKinnon gets hurt, I think Colorado's in trouble. Right, so I'm gonna go with the Avalanche just because of the injury thing. I feel
like
they're more.
It was close for me, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, it was close for me, but I still think St. Louis of those three teams would miss.
Yeah, I think that's the right pick. But yeah.
So guys, it's time to move on to probably the most interesting division in the NHL, the Scotia North, the All Canada team, boys.
I love this division.
Ooh, yeah, I love this division too. This is gonna be the funnest division.
Because both
of these teams are bad.
I don't want to go first.
That's the fun part of it, is that most of these teams are bad,
and
so
they'll
like,
be in the
all,
conference finals. One of them will be in the conference finals. All right. I don't want to go first.
I'll go first.
We're just on the same page. All right, I'm going to take over. I'll go first.
I went first last time. All
right. It was actually kind of tough because Toronto, I think, they're really stacked. But I think Montreal finishes first in that division just because they are a tough team to play against. And I think it goes in their favor that they're playing against all the same team. Then I have Toronto, then I have Winnipeg, and then I have Calgary.
I want to go last because I haven't gone last yet.
Okay.
And I haven't figured it out yet.
I love your Montreal pick. So, looking back to playoffs last year, the Flyers played Montreal and the Islanders, right? And
they were tough to play again. Well,
I still think both series the Flyers were broken, right? Like there was something wrong with the Flyers and they were playing down. But also, I remember watching Montreal and being like, they're gonna be good. Like they have a lot of like the way they're playing, they're like a few players away,
and they only got better.
Really taken off. Yeah, and they had a great offseason. I loved what they did. So I actually have them second in the division.
Who'd you have first? Toronto?
I can see them coming in first. I didn't say yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's Toronto.
Surprise.
I thought you said it and then just went.
No,
that's my bad.
I was just talking about Kush's Montreal picks. I liked it. Carey Price bounce back and they're gonna be first. If Carey Price is still kinda like how he's been the last few years, then I'm gonna knock him down in a second. Toronto is They should come in first. They should probably win the President's Trophy being
it's
in this
Toronto.
Division. They're not the best in the league, but like there's no excuses this year. Austin Matthews is in that conversation for best player in the league. He's not, but he's in the conversation. John Tavares, you add Joe Thornton, you got Mitch Marner, Morgan Riley's a great defenseman. Like they should win this division. And then the next two picks, man.
And that's the hardest ones. I struggled
with
those
hard.
Picks.
So I went with Edmonton third just because of Connor McDavid. And the fact that Edmonton – in a normal year, I would pick Edmonton to miss the playoffs probably because they don't have a defense. they're relying on a lot of young kids. But being in this division, Connor McDavid can beat these teams by himself. So I think they'll get into that third spot. And then pretty much same discussion with Vancouver with Elias Pettersson and their team. The other Hughes, right? So yeah, those are my
thoughts. His name is Quinn, and don't you forget it, okay? I actually have a Quinn Hughes jersey. So.
I actually went Vancouver missing because I feel like they're just, I mean, this might come to their advantage, but they're just such a young team. And like the reason why I plug in Calgary is because they're a more experienced veteran team, and you play a lot of those same teams over and over again. I feel like that could help. It's just such a toss up with those last two.
You guys have to keep talking because I'm not sure yet.
I mean the Jets.
Yeah, this division is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the Jets, I feel like they're. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Lane leaving, and I don't think that they probably were as good as they were maybe a year or two ago. But I still think the Jets are a good team. And that's why I got them finishing, third.
I think the whole stink of Lane like being potentially traded is kind of like gonna. I don't think that's good for a team. So
I don't think it is either, but I do think it is overblown. And I mean, I think he's there to like. For right now, I mean, as long as he doesn't get traded, I mean, he's scoring, they're winning games for now. Or I think they got one, but they only played.
Yeah. No, I mean, you literally could put, after Toronto, I think you could put any.
I have it.
Yeah.
I have my Scotia North final standings. I agree with what you guys said about Montreal.
My job.
Yes. Your job.
My job, I talk to a lot of people from banks.
Yes.
People from Scotia are very friendly.
Oh, they're Canadian.
They're the most friendly bank in the world.
Yeah, they're Canadian. I agree with what you guys said about Montreal, and I think Carey Price absolutely will have that bounce back year. I've watched one of their games, and Carey Price looked fantastic. So Montreal will win the Scotia North in my picks. Number two is Vancouver. I have a soft spot for Vancouver. I'm not gonna lie.
I knew that was coming.
I love Vancouver. I think the additions that they had with Holtby, I think he's a better goalie than Markstrom that they had the year before. I think Thatcher Demko being their backup is still fantastic. I think he, if they didn't get Holtby, probably could have been the starter. He was kind of one of those guys. I like what they have on offense. They got a lot of depth there. It's really young. And I think it just could be one of those teams that just could be a surprise and could possibly, make a push for it. And you never know in this division what's going to happen.
So that's your second place?
That's my second place team. Yeah,
like
Vancouver.
It.
My third place team. My third place
high,
team.
A little high, but, cheers by is the show.
That's fair. Is Calgary.
Oh, I know what he's going to do.
You know exactly what I'm going to do. My third place team is Calgary. And Calgary, very good team. I think Markstrom is a goalie upgrade for them. So I think they're gonna be a very good team. They actually beat Vancouver last night. I think it was 3-0, something like that. I believe it was. So
Matthew Tkachuk is annoying as hell too. This division's gonna be fun.
His name does not. You don't pronounce the T. It's Tkachuk.
I do. I do pronounce the T.
Yeah, it's not correct though.
Drew going after Dev on name pronunciations when he said Tucker.
No,
yeah, it is Tucker-esque.
It's Tkachuk.
And then the fourth team. Is Winnipeg.
I love it. I knew it was coming.
And here's why Toronto.
Explain Winnipeg. Okay, yeah.
Here's why Toronto is not in my top four. Their goaltending and defense is absolutely god fucking awful, and it shouldn't. Their defense shouldn't be with names like Morgan Riley, Jake Muzzin, TJ Brody. You can argue Zach Bogosian, even though he's just a piece of shit brawler, basically. But Freddie Anderson, I hate him. I don't like the way he plays goalie. I think he's overrated.
I hate him.
Jack Campbell. Literally, they have their three goalies were a king, and a shark. They're not their own prospects. They're not good. Jack Campbell could have been, but he wasn't. Guess what? Freddie Anderson could have been, but he. Oh, I'm sorry. Freddie Anderson was a duck. Got that mixed up there. Apologize. Got to get my facts straight there. So they just have California goalies, basically. I don't like them. I don't like anybody on their team. Joe Thornton's just an assist machine, even though he scored last night, I think it was. Tavares is obviously the best player on the team. Mitch Marner's a really good player. I don't see Austin Matthews, forgot about him. He's okay, I guess.
I disagree, but I hope with all my heart that Toronto does miss the playoffs.
And then the reason why
the outburst would be hilarious.
The reason why I'm picking Winnipeg over Edmonton, I think Winnipeg's just a better defensive team, better goaltended team. Edmonton really still doesn't have a defense. They have Mike Smith and Mika Koskinen spending time, and Mike Smith's well past his prime.
Can you explain your hatred for Frederik Andersen?
I just don't like the way he plays goalie. I don't know. It's a goalie thing.
I don't like the way he makes stuff. Like,
I get saying
he's
fine.
I think he's a guy. I don't think he's stellar.
I don't like his positioning. I didn't like him when he was in Anaheim either.
He's a career 916 save percentage.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that. I'm an eye guy.
He's played the last like 5 years against on Toronto.
Yeah. And he played in.
He just told us was a bad
time before that. I don't like him.
I think he's fine. He's not stellar, but I think he's fine.
He's better than Cam Talbot.
Before I say what I'm gonna say, let me just look real quick. Okay.
Bro, I hope this scenario comes true because I'd love it. You know how much I love the drama.
I can't say he's the most overrated starting goalie, but I feel like he's almost the most overrated starting goalie.
People
even
rate him very high because I don't think people.
People in Toronto do, I think.
That's Toronto,
played,
though. You never take anything.
They started Jack Campbell the other night, I think, though. Against Ottawa, maybe? I don't know. I don't remember.
Let's play a game really quick, alright?
Okay.
Cam Talbot or Frederik Andersen?
Is there a third option?
Drew cuts them both.
Is there a third?
Play six people the whole time.
All right. Frederik Andersen or Brian Elliott?
Probably Freddie Andersen.
Okay, and you're on record as saying Brian Elliott isn't a bad goalie.
That's correct. I just think like if I needed to ice a goalie, I think you have a better chance with Freddie Andersen compared to Brian Elliott night in and night out. I think at their best, Brian Elliott's a better goalie. But Brian Elliott's not at his best anymore.
Yeah, like when they're at age, like they're like comparing
Correct.
Their primes.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
In no, my I mean, that's like, my opinion. But right now, yeah. Not Freddie Andersen. That's
yeah. All right. I mean
I don't like the guy, but I'm not ignorant.
I do wanna defend Toronto's defense. They're not terrible, but their team defense is terrible. Morgan Riley's
fantastic. Jake Muzzin, I like Jake Muzzin.
He's solid. Brody's okay. He's good.
TJ Brody honestly didn't perform as well as I think last year as I think they should thought he would.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He's not like he's a top four.
In all fairness, he went from 34 points to 19 points last year with Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying he's not a top pair guy, but like you know,
yeah,
not bad.
They have a more complete team than most of the other. They're not. I don't think they're winning the cup, but I think they definitely.
So for me,
their top six is one of the best top sixes in the league.
When you look at
Tampa and Colorado,
Marner, Matthews, and Tavares,
and
Nylander's great. I gotta look at his stats. Yes, Nylander. If he performs like he did last
good.
Year, if he performs like he did last year, absolutely. Oh no, he is a 60-point guy. All right, we're good. I think I got him mixed up with the other Nylander.
Don't forget they didn't play 82 games last year. So.
No, I thought I think I got him mixed up with the other Nylander. That happens for me from time to time.
Oh, the Nylander on Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
His brother.
Yes. He sucks. Yeah. Joe Thornton, while I love the man, was born in the 70s, quite literally. Jason Spezza isn't the player that he was. Wayne Simmons.
They actually just waived him.
Spezza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he's fine. Like, he wants to be that, like, depth role. Like, he doesn't mind getting waived, but he literally said that if another team claims him, he will just retire.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to stay in Toronto.
Wayne Simmons, I can't say anything bad about Wayne Simmons, except he's just not the player he was in Philadelphia.
I think he's going to have a bounce back.
Yeah, I haven't seen their power play units, but I assume he's on one of them.
He is, and I saw a highlight last night. He didn't, like, actually get an assist, but he was screening the goalie.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
scored.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, and he looked like vintage Wayne Simmons.
I kind of feel like doing an NHL franchise where I revamp Toronto.
They're already good.
I can make them better.
I'm sure you could, you know, but...
I can make them better. I can totally do that.
I just feel like it's not a challenge. If you come to us and you're like, look what I did to Toronto.
Drew's got one like, move, and that's shit for Freddie Anderson.
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to do it. Too. I'm picking Tampa Bay. I'm going to redo Tampa Bay.
That's a bold move, God.
You know that I know I sent it to you guys. There was that tweet that showed like the Flyers roster by who drafted them or acquired them.
Yes.
So it was like Hextall, 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 Chuck, Hextall, Holmgren, Hextall, 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 Chuck.
Clark was also in there.
Clark, yeah, Clark.
Yeah, yeah. Blair was one Clark. Yeah.
That's his name is Claude Giroux. Don't forget it. Okay.
Drew's Maple Leafs. It's like there's one player that says Drew. Fix them.
No, the goaltender.
The goalie.
You know what? I don't need to sit here and dig this. I feel like I have to go in there and then just somehow trade everybody. You know what? You know how I'll get away with it? I'll do a fantasy draft and not tell any of you. And just make sure I get, like, Matthews and Marner somehow. No shit.
And Trafford.
So, I sometimes will do the fantasy draft, but then I end up doing the fantasy draft, like, 20 times because I try to figure out, like, all right, well, how far back can I go and still get someone I know is great? So, like, all right, McDavid went here. Or not McDavid. I always try to get Jack Eichel. Let's see how, because like he always had like a super high potential and become like the best player in the league in like a year or two in a game.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate the way the franchise mode is now. By the way,
I did a Flyers one. I won the cup in a year. So,
you have it on easy mode?
No. I don't really
What's
have to
with
do
the
much.
Announcing?
I don't know. The guy's always yelling. It's a whole thing. I don't like him.
What the hell? What? Like, so I'm always a year behind with NHL because I just wait till it's free on EA Game Pass.
Yeah.
So like this was the first. I finally got NHL 20. So that's the first year with the new like.
Yeah. He's
play-by-play guy and Snoop Dogg and.
Yeah, they got rid of Snoop Dogg. Oh,
I have to play on mute. It is why is he screaming and why is he just like complaining about the game the whole time?
They didn't fix it either. So
yeah, I buy NHL every year. I play it for a month. And I just do the hockey stuff. I don't actually do like franchise mode or anything. I always mute the announcers because they are really annoying. They're always screaming. And then I just put on like low. It's very zen for me. You'll put on some lo-fi. That jam in the background.
I don't get anything close to Zen when I play NHL because my teammates, I'm not naming my teammates when I play online, but they're all terrible. I am the best player on the team.
I play
every single time. And
there is a video of you that gets posted on Facebook.
Okay, first off, I wasn't the player I am now. Okay, it was just me missing the net horribly. Maybe we'll find it, put it on the pod Twitter so everybody can see me fail. I admit it, but you have to make mistakes. To learn, to grow, to become the god that I am.
Did anyone see that use Mr. Net?
Oh, that was great.
So, no. The devil,
he took a shot, like a slap shot, and he put so much power into it that he fell.
Oh, I did see that. He was pulling his he was pulling his best Keki or CC or whatever the hell that
CC.
I don't actually know how to pronounce his name. I've seen it like 17 different times.
He's terrible.
He is.
He's the new Andrew McDonald.
Cody CC.
Keki.
Yeah.
Chechi. Chechi. I like Chechi.
He'll put a T on the front of it.
Chechi.
Who's the guy that Drew really mispronounced the one time? Was it Cody CC? That we didn't know who he was talking about?
No, it couldn't have been Cody CC.
Well, we know Tucker Rask, but there was another instance.
There was? What? I don't
know. Yeah, it was like, we were like, wait, who are you talking about? We won't remember.
We won't remember.
Maybe our fans will tell us.
They won't remember anyway. There's 18 of them.
So,
yeah. But I think we're there, boys. I'm kind of out of things to talk about. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, there's only, what, two, three games?
There was two. By each team. There was two for the Flyers, three for Washington, none for Dallas, one by Florida now once they just finished. They beat Chicago 5-2, so.
Not a whole lot to talk about.
Not a whole lot to talk about, but next time, I almost said next week, like that's a thing.
Talk about
Florida. Next time, the season will be over,
next
and we'll have
time,
the entire season to talk about.
We'll have the whole season to talk about. Now, I'm going to make it more
You say this every time.
Don't lie to our fans. I said we every time last time. But in all fairness, like 2 weeks ago, I said so pod, and nobody said anything. So y'all can get off.
Wait,
me.
That actually true?
I think so.
Yeah, it was. It was like after I said it 45 times, so I was
correct.
Piece of,
so I said.
I'll have to go back on that because I don't remember that.
Well, okay, I said. Oh, okay. Dev asked what time the draft works for me, and then two podcasts, and I said, can we make it 8 instead of 7? And I said, 2 probs. And then Dev asked me how my work schedule was a couple days later, and then I told him my work schedule, and then nobody said anything. So...
yeah. Well, I just...
That's because I wasn't sure what was a good time for me.
It's usually Dev that sets it up, and then I'm usually down, because I always have at least a couple days a week where I can do it after work.
Drew gives like a really specific time schedule. Mm-hmm. Well, this, I can work Tuesday at 8:30 to 9:3.
I tell you the times that I can do it.
Did we talk about Voracek? I forget.
Oh my god, we did forget the whole weasel thing.
In all fairness, he's all the way down at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I kind of have.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't have been part of the extra stuff. You should have made it part of the main stuff.
That was great. It was.
I don't
was
usually
great.
Make the docs.
I watched it live, and I was like half paying attention to the post game show. And then I heard it, and I was like, "Wait a minute!"
Apparently, the league talked to him about it.
Well, yeah, he said the word "fuck" on TV.
That was great.
And shit.
And shit.
Dude, honestly, they should be allowed to do that more.
I think also that those press conferences aren't actually live. Like,
I think they
like they happen like 20 minutes. No, I think like it says they're live, but there's definitely a delay because I think I was reading them.
Well, I mean, most things that are live are delayed.
And they're like, we have no idea. Yeah. We have no idea why, like, the NBC actually broadcasted that. Like, they had plenty of time to
yeah, because usually you have, like, at the very least, like, they give, like 20 seconds or 30 seconds so people, like, they can bleep out any expletives that occur, and they didn't, so.
What I read was it was, like, a 20-minute delay or something.
Seriously?
When it was,
20
when
minutes?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was in jest or not, but it was between when Voracek said that and when it went on TV. Like, there was, like, a 20-minute time.
That's
I'm
a long
sure
time.
I read it. I'm pretty sure I read it on Crossing Broad. They posted about it.
So, Dev.
I mean, that's a pretty shitty blog. But.
You watched
what?
The what was the first game on NHL Network yesterday that was the Hockey Night in Canada? Whatever. The Hockey Night in Canada game was airing on NHL Network. In the intermission, they talked about that. Brian Burke, I think, is that GM that.
Yeah, well, I saw. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he said. Honestly,
what's that?
I'm happy he said it. basically. He said, not verbatim that, but he's like, I'm happy he said it. He said the players and the coaches shouldn't have to take constant abuse from reporters. They should be allowed to say it back. Now, he did say he can use without the colorful language, which is fair.
That's how Voracek talks, though.
Correct.
If you ever hear a Voracek interview, that's how
correct.
It's called.
But, yes. That's just how
I would love.
The backstory is that Mike Sielski or whatever his name is wrote an article last year at the beginning of the season.
You pronounced his name wrong? His name is Weasel.
I don't know how to say his name. So last year, you remember last year the Flyers kind of started off good and then they lost like a few games in a row. They got like Penguins.
Yep.
Yeah.
AV called out Drew and Voracek, and it was like this whole like refreshing thing with the coach. I could call him out. So apparently AV was saying that in the locker room and Voracek was laughing in an unrelated thing. Like he wasn't listening to AV. Like he was in the locker room. And like multiple reporters were there and like confirmed that like Voracek wasn't laughing at AV. Like he was probably, you know, saying something in the locker room and he was laughing. But Sielski, Weaselman, wrote in his article, like he insinuated that AV was laughing, or at JVR, or JVR, wow, that Voracek was laughing at AV when he called Voracek out. So Voracek was really mad about that. And apparently, according to Voracek, he had no contact with him until the other night, which is probably bullshit. But that was just Voracek knowing that, like, all right, everyone's going to see this, so I'm going to call this guy out then.
Yes, Jake Voracek reads like.
I would love it if after Voracek retires that he gets a post game.
Oh, there's segment. No chance in hell they'll give it to him.
But I wish they would. Like,
there's no way. I mean, people thought Hartsy said shitty the other day, and it was shitty.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, it was definitely shitty.
It was definitely shitty.
But it sounds so close. It was great.
The fact in the post game show that. Yeah, that's Taryn Hatcher. She was like, he said shinny. It's
Twitter
pond hockey.
They were like,
it's pond hockey.
It was quite a night for Flyers on TV.
Yeah.
Flyers saying words.
That it is. Well, we talked about it now. I'm tired, guys. Worked hard today.
I guess we can call it.
I did a lot of talking today.
Yeah, my mouth is sore.
Yeah, where's your mouth sore?
Oh.
We did a lot of talk.
Oh. Well, I was working first, and that's where I did a lot of talking. And it hurt me. It didn't hurt anything, but yeah.
Hurt your jaw?
Yeah, you know, I work. Yeah. I get a lot of use out of my jaw.
Where do you work?
I work at a place.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't say where, but yeah.
Scared.
Yeah, it's fine. Just some dumpsters there. It's fine. Anyways, I'm happy to be back. I do want to do this more often. I like this. I like the Flyers. When the Flyers are on playing, I have more love for it. And I missed hockey. And I love hockey. And I can't. I'm watching it all as much as I can. I'm really sad. There's only two games today, and I couldn't really watch either of them because work and such. So.
I can't handle when there's like more than a day between games.
The nice
for the
thing
Flyers
is,
and the season's only two games.
Well,
I thought we were gonna play every day with the schedule. Like,
we play Monday and Tuesday back to back against Buffalo, and we're home both games. I think the nice thing is Monday, is a 7:30 game, so I can rush from work when I get done at 7:15, and basically get home for puck drop, and and then Tuesday we play at 7:00. So. Gonna miss first little bit of that. Yeah. Well, it's been fun.
Predictions for those games.
Oh, for those games?
Just say win, win, loss, win.
Wait, hang on. Slow down. There's only two. We're only projecting two. Yeah, it's just win-win.
I'm going with win-win. Anything less than two wins is a disappointment against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Even with Kutz out.
That's why it'll be win loss.
Anything less than 4 points,
they're still figuring it out. Or loss win. Or
3 points will be okay.
No.
Yeah, I want all four, but I think they're gonna take an L just because.
You're gonna take an L.
I'm gonna.
How dare you?
Frost is
going to score. You know what? You know what? No, because they might, because Brian Elliott's probably playing game two.
I don't think that's the reason why they'll take the L. I think they don't look great defensively. Buffalo, for all their flaws, they have Jack Eichel.
Jack Eichel will score three goals over two games, and they'll still lose both of the times.
And Taylor Hall.
And they have Taylor Hall now.
All right, anyways. You just keep trying to drag me onto this. You're just not allowing me to finish this, and I don't allow it. I can see your little shit-eating grin right now, too. Anyways. Win-win. Win-win. All right, we're going 56-0.
Bang, bang.
Who's going to win the Norris? Victor Hedman.
Are we doing that?
No, he's just trying to get me to keep going. That's all. You know what I almost forgot I had to do is the Twitter spiel and the email stuff. So, like, if you have any questions or comments, you can send us an email to WizWit. It's Wiz_Wit_Hockey@gmail.com. I remember it. I got there. You can, no, that's Twitter. Dang it.
Oh, my God, Drew.
You can, the email's WizWitHockey@gmail.com. The Twitter, you can follow us there.
Anybody actually email us?
Yeah, Paulie and Cuss. Paulie and Cuss.
No one ever reads them.
I read them. They just haven't said anything in a long time, mainly because we haven't done a pod in a long time. You can follow us on Twitter at @Wiz_Wit_Hockey. That one I did remember. You can follow Devin at DevinS93. You can follow Ryan at SoshBoyKush. You can follow myself at TheBigDrew92. See, that stuff I remember. It's just, you know, it's been a while for that stuff. But anyways, Dev, do you got anything else you want me to extend it on?
No, but I will sign off by saying in 2017-18, the fourth place Vezina finalist was Frederick Anderson.
He's been Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to one up that and say that whole finish is a Vezina finalist this year. All right, Drew, you got to sign off. Go.
Carter Hart wins the Vezina. That's,
I like that.
That's my, oh God, Freddie Anderson's not a good goalie. Anyways, thanks for listening or something. I love you guys.
Frederick, too.
I will not call him.
I love you, too.
I was talking to the fans, but thanks. Ryan, do you love me?
Sure.
That didn't sound, I need you to say it with conviction.
Sure.
This has gone off the rails. I'm ending this thing now.